Here, 10 years ago, in this tiny nunnery in the Zanskar Valley, perched 3,700 meters at the foot of the Himalayas, I met some remarkable women. 11 Buddhist nuns, aged between 27 and 80 years old, who live in the village of Tungri in wonderful harmony. As a hydraulic engineer, I was following the flow of water through Asia, alone, from Lake Baikal to the Bay of Bengal. In the middle of this 22-month journey, I discovered Zanskar, and I experienced my first Himalayan winter. Over the course of the many seasons spent there, I learned their language, worked with them, taught them, and shared in their prayers and their lives. They turned mine upside down. I fell in love with them from the moment we first burst out laughing. A dream was born from our friendship, for all of us to discover India together. The plains, the jungle, the ocean, my friends knew nothing of these things. And India is so vast that its many inhabitants don't even know that this little valley, nestling between Pakistan and China, and with the Tibetan culture, is actually Indian. I promised them a journey to all four corners of their immense homeland, from the Himalayas to the Indian Ocean, from the Zanskar Valley to the Nicobar Islands.
If I was bigger, walking through the snow would be easy. But I'm tiny, so I sink up to my knees in the snow, and it's hard to climb while carrying the water.
You'll lose some karma after throwing snow at her like that.
Yes, and look, she's still doing it.
Nawang Dolma was getting too hot, so she needed a wash, like they give the elephants.
Yeah, probably.
It's really slippery. The edge is so narrow.
You're right.
When I first arrived, what did you think of me? Had you seen many outsiders before?
No.
We didn't think it was anything special.
We couldn't say anything more than when we gave you food. It was like talking to a donkey.
And when we met for the first time, did you ever think our friendship would last for this long?
Oh no, the thought didn't even cross my mind. You came here, you were going to leave, and we didn't hold any hopes of seeing you again. Nobody could imagine that you would be taking us all across India. Look, there are prayers engraved into the rock. The ancients went to a lot of effort. We don't even know how to read or write. We no longer have the patience. They would engrave lots of prayers and images of Buddhas on stones.
Emma, I'm in the
Please, look after our nuns, Caroline. They're like donkeys. They don't travel very much. You must be like a Buddha to lead them. And our nuns are old, so take care of them.
You can even carry them on your back.
Okay.
Will she be carrying the camera or the nuns?
Are you excited to be travelling across India soon?
Oh, yes, we're delighted.
You're not afraid of the frozen river?
Yes, I am.
Not me. What are you afraid of?
Well, just a little afraid.
But no, we're not afraid.
Walking on the ice, walking through the water.
Yes, the frozen river can often be difficult, but there are a lot of us, so we'll be okay.
But I'm scared of walking on the ice.
Our Nana's crying. She doesn't want to travel abroad.
What's wrong? Aren't you excited?
I'm crying tears of joy. I want to visit the monasteries, Bodh Gaya. You can't welcome guests without offering them something. That would be bad. But that's a rule we have in Zanskar.
Really?
If you don't, it brings you bad luck. The tea isn't even ready yet.
Don't worry about it.
But I do worry. It's important. And now I'm late for my duties at the temple.
What duties do you perform?
Gomnier.
What does that involve?
I have to look after the temple and make the daily offerings. I have to refill the bowls of water in the mornings, empty them in the evenings, light the candles in the mornings and evenings, and read prayers throughout the day.
And how long do these duties last for?
2 whole years.
And then another nun is chosen?
Yes, that's right.
For these women, praying is their job. They pray for health, happiness, and positive reincarnations for themselves and all living beings. Though they recite Tibetan prayers, they don't fully grasp the entire meaning and regret not having benefited from any form of education, which is essential to Buddhism. The lack of a school at this nunnery doesn't encourage newcomers to join and is condemning this place and its ages-old cultural heritage to extinction. It's difficult to fill these gaps, but there is one life-forming experience that I can offer them, that of a journey. This is the only gift fitting for the priceless secret they revealed to me, the knowledge of happiness. Hey, Abby Pelin.
Yes?
Are you going to stay here?
This evening?
No, this winter, once we've left.
Yes.
Aren't you afraid?
No, I'm not afraid.
Really?
No. What good is it being afraid?
I don't know. Have you ever traveled down to India?
Down there? I have bad knees, so I said I wouldn't be coming.
But a few years ago, didn't you go to Dharamsala?
Yes.
To Bodh Gaya?
Yes. I went to Bodh Gaya, Dharamsala, Varanasi, and Nepal. But now I have bad knees, I won't be going. And I told them not to put my name on the list. But I won't be very happy, that's for sure. I won't be very happy, that's for sure. Once the nuns have left, I'll be unhappy for a few days, and then it will be over.
We'll be be leaving in a few days. We have to get ready. But life seems so peaceful, and in winter, time seems to slow down. I find it hard to believe that we'll be leaving on a long journey.
Do you think I'll make it there?
You have to make it there.
What are you looking for?
The stand for a stove. I can't find the stand that we need to take over the frozen river. It's important.
Hi, little sister. What are you doing?
You're giving off a lot of steam. Hey, Nawal Doma, look at me.
Why?
You look beautiful.
But I have soap in my eye.
You look like a boy with your moustache.
Yeah, I'll take it with me for now.
Oh, Caroline. You're always filming.
Why are you doing that?
Doing what?
But if you keep your hair, you'll be warmer on the frozen river.
But then people would be ashamed of us.
Nuns don't keep their hair.
They would point at us.
We don't keep our hair any longer than this.
Who are you knitting socks for?
For me.
For the frozen river.
I already have some.
You have some? If you need them, you use them. If not, then I'll wear them over the frozen river.
And why have the men from the village come?
We invited them over to thank them for helping the lama, who will stay behind, and also because they will sweep the snow off the roofs and bring water by from time to time. We want to thank them for taking care of the nunnery, because we will be away for 4 months. They have to stop the snow from getting inside. So we invited them all to the nunnery as a good deed. If we left without thanking them, that wouldn't be right, would it?
Thank you. We won't forget your kindness.
The day after tomorrow seems good. We just need to check the time.
What about Monday?
That'll be too late.
The ice on the river might not be solid enough.
She never wondered about this, because outsiders don't take the days into account. They don't believe in this. We are Buddhists, and this is what we believe. It's important that we make sure we leave on a day blessed with good omens.
This is butter. So the men can make themselves tea. The apricots are for the lama. Well, that's everything. Have an apricot. I've never been to Ladakh.
Not even to the city of Leh?
No, never.
Really, never?
Nope. So you've never walked across the frozen river?
No. This will be my first time.
I'm scared the river will be unsafe. And in India, there are a lot of people. There are thieves, and if we aren't strong, they say that people will kill us. So I'm a little bit scared. We've never been there, so we don't know.
Abi Pele, we're leaving tomorrow.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Go on, drink your soup. That's enough now.
Aren't you worried?
No, but you will face many difficulties.
In the city of Leh, we will be meeting three older nuns for whom crossing the frozen river, which they call the Chadar, would have been too difficult. They have been impatiently waiting for us for 3 months, since the only road leading to Zanskar has been sealed off by snow. A few men will accompany us across the river, including our guide Tashi, who consulted the Lama when choosing the day of our departure. With him, I have nothing to fear. 10 years previously, I had worked alongside him as a carrier across a particularly difficult Chadar. But for now, the villagers welcome our party and honour this journey with a lovely surprise of tea, barley beer, and even a little money.
I've crossed the Chadar before, but in the other direction. I was receiving instructions from the Dalai Lama, and I walked the Chadar on my way back. It was very hard, very hard. I was exhausted. Why? Because I was in Varanasi for the Kala Chakra teachings, and my father died in Delhi. That was 25 years ago.
At the start of the Chadar, I felt scared. I didn't say anything. You didn't see this, but I was so scared of crossing the ice that I had tears in my eyes. I swear. Then afterwards it was extraordinary. Under the water, above the ice, if you slide with your feet, you don't fall. I ended up loving it, and I was thinking about India, and I was getting excited about getting to India.
Until we reached our plane for the capital, it was the nuns who held the reins to our caravan. After we reached Delhi, they would follow me with joyous discipline. I was simultaneously a guide, an organizer, a translator, a camerawoman, and a nurse. The sole leader of a 12-member troop, 10 nuns and 2 boys from the village who managed to convince me that a little extra assistance wouldn't go amiss. We will stop off at all the important Buddhist sites for the nuns. But this journey is also an opportunity to discover the extraordinary diversity of India, where almost everything is unknown to them. I chose the route of this trek, from the desert of Rajasthan to the Andaman archipelago. In the footsteps of Gandhi and Mother Teresa, we will be meeting people who live and think differently. But let's hear about it from the nuns.
If there was water, this place would be beautiful, with lots of grass and trees. But it's all dry here, not a single drop of water. Still, this desert is beautiful. It's completely flat and open. And then on the dunes, there are lots of people to laugh and talk with. Some of us rode on the camels, but I didn't want to. They look pitiful. They're all skinny, with bones sticking out. They have nothing to eat, no water, no grass. When they bring them back, they don't give them anything, the poor things. You insisted that I rode one of them, but I wasn't brave enough.
My mother told me about this place. She had traveled to India. The sun is so small when it rises, like a flat chapati, and then it disappears on the other side, as if it had been swallowed by the ground. I thought she was lying, but now I believe her. I loved seeing such a flat landscape.
There are people who make salt. It's enough to make you stand there in silence. All I could do was stare, completely oblivious. These coarse grains of salt are beautiful, and they sweep them into cone-like piles which resemble the Tsampa Mountains. We took some with us, like it was a precious relic. They say that it is difficult to harvest salt and rice. It burns your hands. If the water doesn't sting because of the cold, it stings because of the salt.
Look how much Gandhi helped people. He gave us independence. Seeing the efforts Gandhi went to has made me think.
And Gandhi did his own housework. He ate simple meals, and he said that you had to make your own clothes and live alongside nature.
He campaigned for peace without violence, with an honest heart and compassion. So if us nuns are unable to live together in peace, Visiting Alua and Ajanta, places where so many Buddhas have passed through. What an incredible opportunity. It's just incredible. For us, it's difficult to build walls, whereas they carved into the rock in order to make their homes inside. Extraordinary. There's a prayer that says, you can cut wood with a bird's feather. That's what they practiced here, patience and effort. Life here is very different in comparison to Zanskar. They work all night long to catch fish, shellfish, and worms. They bring everything here and place it here like our bundles of grass and manure.
It's a lot of work, just like back home. And tomorrow, all those fish will be killed and eaten. Back home, we pray a lot in order to make up for our bad actions. But for them, after taking so many lives, they have no chance of improving their karma, right?
Do you find this difficult to watch?
Yes, it breaks my heart, I promise you that.
Study is very important. We don't know any other languages. It's difficult. I thought just learning the prayers would be enough. Now I know that it's very important to study the prayers and also other languages. I thought that everyone spoke our language in India, but nobody does.
Yamani 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 Yamani
I just loved the Andaman Islands. This was where we stayed the longest, 9 days in total. I loved it. And we found shells, thousands of shells. I wanted to take lots of them with us, but with Pansop Dolma, we wondered where our home was after such a long journey. When were we going back home? One day, of course, but via which route? So we only brought a few shells with us as offerings to place in the Chortens. Once we got back, a lot of traditional healers came to see us saying, "You were in the Andamans. There are lots of shells there. I need some. They're used for making medicines. They're very important," they said. So I gave away two or three of them. I didn't have many.
Abi gel son jungle na. Abi.
Ta şan lan diga kutup.
Lan ma top.
Lan ma no diga.
Ya abi. Ta skat.
Ya.
Sigi si pulu mu ya kan diga za.
There aren't any women here. But back home, when somebody dies, everyone comes out and offers money, candles, bread, those kind of things. It's good to see this, because we will also die one day. This allows us to contemplate death, and this inspires us to pray. You must hear, feel, and see death. Our ears often hear talk of death, but our eyes don't often see it. Like today, exposed like this before all those people, we don't often see it.
Jule mi malangi
After 4 months of travelling across landscapes as amazing as they are spellbinding, we have all chosen to return to Zanskar via the shortest route, over 5,000 metre pass. We walked in order to best savour the return trip as summer begins to dawn. Only 77-year-old Abby, our oldest travelling companion, returned via the long way around. Four months of travelling with intermittent comfort, there wasn't a single drama or a single complaint. Their constant joy and the unshakable trust they placed in me gave me the strength to bring this adventure to a close. I return exhausted, and I find it hard to explain how much seeing them blossom in the outside world will fill me with joy for a long time to come. Because our story continues beyond this journey.
Seeing our friends and families again and coming home, that's what I'm looking forward to.
Abby Belle, when we all left during the winter, were you unhappy?
Of course I was.
Were you very unhappy?
No, not very. I stayed behind to read and learn prayers.
Who brought you water?
My niece. She's going to become a nun. She's studying to become one. She will stay with Dolma and me here because she's a member of our family.
Though Abby Pelli can barely hide her disappointment at not having been able to take part in the journey, the village women are unable to contain their impatience to see the pictures we'd brought back with us.
There are lots of cars and lots of people. Some people are so poor they sleep outside and eat out of dustbins, I swear. And some people are so rich they have servants waiting to open doors for them. It's incredible. Some of them clean, while others wait on you hand and foot. It's crazy.
I'm going to see Abby Lamo. I'll be back.
India is huge, incredibly huge.
Yes, Zanskar must be tiny in comparison, right?
It would take more than a whole day to tell you all about the different places she took us to. We sometimes forget a lot of it. Outsiders like to travel to Zanskar. Here, there isn't a lot of noise or cars. It doesn't get too warm, but it's hot in India. We bought so many bottles of water. There are just so many hotels. Like in Mumbai, there's the Taj Mahal Hotel. It's very well known in India. The waiters wear uniforms. We went to this hotel. It was very beautiful. A single cup of tea costs 350 rupees. I swear. There were 12 or 14 of us, so it cost us over 4,000 rupees just for tea.
In Tangri, life has quickly returned to normal, and already the nuns are helping to prepare the first marriage of the season. There are great changes lying in store for them. But after seeing my friends gain self-confidence through the journey, I know that they will know how to rise to the challenge. Nobody could have imagined that this journey would coincide with the long-awaited opening of a school for the nunnery. While we were in the Andaman Islands, a lama was appointed by the Buddhist authorities to teach Hindi, English, mathematics, Tibetan and prayer studies to the village girls who were planning to become nuns. They finally have the choice to study in their native valley, rather than having to go into exile in large, far-flung monasteries, from where, more often than not, they never come home. Upon our return, we were met with a nunnery which was full of life and promise. This is a revolution for the nuns, who play an essential role in this society, where religion remains at the heart of daily life.
If we hadn't have studied, things would be very difficult nowadays. For those of us who didn't study, it's too late. But if we have young nuns who study, it will be much easier for all of us. This school is just wonderful. This is exactly what all of us wanted.
I get the impression that life within the Tangri Nunnery is going to improve. This is my hope for the nuns. I hope we get richer.
You want to be rich?
If there are a lot of nuns, that will be what makes us rich. She studied to secondary school level, but before that, she already knew she wanted to become a nun.
Are you happy to become a nun and to move into the nunnery with Abby Pelly?
Tell her, go on. Yes.
Yes, Caroline. Now there are 12 of us again. There were only 11 of us before. There are 12 nuns, which is wonderful. Thank you, Caroline.
Don't you think she looks a little scared?
Oh, that's normal. This is the very beginning. She's a bit shy to begin with. I remember that it was the same for me. I didn't know any of the prayers, and I didn't know about the work we had to do.
And you, as her mother, are you happy that she's becoming a nun?
Of course. Nuns are the happiest people there are. You know, I was 15 years old when I became a nun. I was already fully grown. I had long hair like you.
I knew ever since I was a child. I wasn't even 10 years old when I said to myself that I wanted to become a nun.
I've never thought about getting married. The thoughts never crossed my mind.
Sanskar is very fortunate.
And the nunnery in Tangri?
It's a paradise.
This year is happier than all the rest. We have seen what we were unable to see before and been to places we could never have imagined. The Lama told us we must have met in a previous life for us to have found each other like this.
Yes, hello. My Caroline.
Yeah.
Before I was happy, but I didn't think about prayers as much. I thought about the work that needed doing. Now I think about prayers. We're going to die. We have seen so many things. It now seems more important than ever to pray. But you mustn't forget to laugh between prayers. There is virtue in laughter.
Yes, the Dalai Lama said so. Do you remember?
Yes. When someone visits, if we don't laugh together, we can't be happy. Laughing and making people happy is a virtuous act. Don't you think?
That's right.